100% original.
We're not stealing content for this segment.
That's right.
Not at all.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Cars have four wheels. Hoodies have hoods. It's amusing to me when someone says, this is an original hoodie. Bro. It's a hoodie. It's a hoodie. I can't do this.
On 1340 WKGN.
I am Warhol. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh, Walt Disney.
Hour three kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Voice is a little sore too, but you've done a good job, Cody, of holding it together. Let's hit some hour three headlines. You're almost home free, buddy.
Thanks, John. Javon Bullard's BAC was quite high during his arrest. Javon Bullard plays for Georgia.
Oh, is he good?
Not sure. He's a Georgia defensive back. Yeah, it says he was a defensive starter.
Okay, so
for Georgia.
He's a starter, yeah.
Yep. So he was a starter. The Georgia DB was allegedly. He's only 150 pounds, according to that. Can't be right. That must just be what his driver's license said.
Yeah, he's when he got it, like 16 or something, maybe.
Yeah, if he's starting for Georgia, I'm thinking he weighs more than 150 pounds. Anyway, he was allegedly heavily under the influence, arrested Sunday morning. The defensive starter for the Bulldogs, taken into custody by the UGA campus police. They nailed him with 7 misdemeanors, including a DUI charge for an individual under 21. The police report indicated his BAC was tested twice, and the results came back .143 and .148. The legal drunk driving limit is .08.
Jeez.
So that BAC was
20-year-old kid? Is he still 19?
He's 20. He's 20, yeah. The BAC was nearly double the legal limit, so not good for him. Not good for him.
Good for us. Hopefully he gets at least a
probably not good for us
four
either.
Game suspension.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be out for the rest of the year or anything.
4-game suspension is what I would do if I was
next 4 SEC games.
Yes.
For sure. I agree with
Man,
that.
Really celebrated that Kent State win, huh?
Yeah.
What was the deal of that game?
I have no idea. I didn't get to watch it, but yeah.
I saw the score, and I just thought maybe it was like, well, maybe Georgia got up and let a couple of back doors, but not really.
Kent was hanging around until the fourth quarter, and then Georgia kind of opened it up from there.
You never thought Kent was going to win it, but they were within 10. Like, at one point, it was 32-22.
Six at one point in the third. I think it was 16-10. Kent was hanging around. I don't know what the deal was.
I wouldn't put too much into it. I mean, I think Georgia's obviously still very good, and they were coming off of a road beatdown against a conference team.
Mm-hmm.
Who's getting up for the Kent State game, you know, if you play for Georgia? So
apparently not this kid.
No, they're still really good. Speaking of really good, how about the United States women's basketball team, John? They put on quite a show, breaking the FIBA Women's World Cup scoring mark in a record rout of South Korea. Almost said Carolina again. That's what Georgia did. The women's basketball team did it to South Korea. Ooh. Asia Wilson had a big day. Brianna Jones scored 24 points. Wilson added 20, and the U.S. beat South Korea 145-69
nice.
This morning.
Nice.
145.
Ridiculous.
That helped the Americans eclipse Brazil's record of 143 points set in 1990 against Malaysia.
Jeez, what was Brazil doing that game?
USA.
Beating up Malaysia.
USA.
Love to hear that.
I think we'll ever get caught in basketball, because I don't really.
Especially not women's.
Not in women's basketball.
There's no way.
Can't imagine.
Most countries don't like women.
Plus, we just have a long, we have a long head start.
Yep.
Canada.
I don't have anything. Hey.
Has dropped.
Here.
Has dropped.
Hey. Maple syrup.
They've dropped their vaccine mandate and mask requirements for professional athletes and visitors. The Canadian government confirmed today that non-citizens entering the country, including professional athletes, will no longer be required to be vaccinated against COVID beginning in October.
Oh, Canada.
Removal of the vaccine mandate means unvaccinated MLB players would be allowed to play in Toronto in the playoffs. Should the Blue Jays make the postseason, they are, I believe, number two behind the Yankees still in that division. They should possibly be a wild card type team.
I have no clue. But once football season starts, what little bit I care about baseball goes completely out the window.
I know.
The Blue Jays are currently the number one wild card team, though. You are correct.
Wow, yeah. Big baseball guy.
Michael Gallup will not return for Monday Night Football tonight against the Giants. Dallas will be without Gallup. He has an ACL. So.
I have an ACL as well.
No Gallup. I guess we all have one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not everybody. Sometimes you get them.
Yeah. You're gonna take it all. You're gonna take it out.
I think people get them
removed.
It's like tears, or maybe I'm just thinking of like you can have just a torn ACL and like just don't get fixed. Just
maybe don't. Yeah. Get, I'll
just hey, it. How about this front page? CBSSports.com. Power rankings.
How about it?
It's a big. Well, it's a big picture, Smokey.
Oh.
And it says power rankings. Vols make move into top 10. And guess who it's coming from? Dennis Dodd, of all people.
You didn't have us in the top 10 before, Dennis Dodd?
Embarrassing.
What the hell are you waiting on?
Well, Dennis Dodd now has us at number 7.
Oh,
so
ahead of Kentucky?
Behind Kentucky. What? But ahead of Clemson.
Okay.
I just don't even count Kentucky when I look at these rankings.
Get the hell out of them, right?
Kentucky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cody's about to say, I don't know.
No, I'm more confident than you think I am now. Okay. I think offensively we're good at they can't score like we can. Now they might be one of the more physical teams we'll play. Maybe the second most physical behind Georgia, but I think it'll be one of those games that we will just outpace them. Yeah, I do think we're going to beat Kentucky. Their offensive outputs this year have not been good. Not good at all. I mean, they were in a game with Northern Illinois 31-23 the other day.
Yeah.
So,
good call on you with the Kentucky covering that spread.
Against Youngstown State, their offense didn't look good. It didn't look good against Miami, Ohio.
It's just so stupid. It's just so damn dumb.
It's so stupid.
That we have to play Alabama and Georgia. Like, if we had to just swap one of those games out for anybody else in the country, we're probably – all looking around saying this team can like has a really, really good shot of going 11-1.
Yeah.
But you have to play both of those guys.
Well, you know what we're going to have to do, brother?
You got to beat one of them.
We're just going to have to beat one of them.
You got to kick down the door.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yeah.
You got to kick down the door.
What an athlete.
If you weren't watching on Periscope, I just delivered a high kick. Hamstring's a little tight now. So
Kentucky's offensive outputs this year, 37, 26, 31, 31. And three of those opponents are Miami, Ohio, Youngstown State, and Northern Illinois.
That's a first half for us.
We're just going to have to beat Alabama at home. That's what it comes down to. Let's take care of business next week, next Saturday, not this Saturday.
Pace yourself.
Take care of business. Get that done. Go down to Baton Rouge. Get it done. And then you get – perhaps the biggest home game in the history of your stadium.
Are you still going to LSU now that we know it's a noon game, or you got to reconfigure your planning because
– I'm going. You still got those tickets, right?
You told me you wanted them. So I got them. But I just want to make sure you're still going.
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah. I got to figure out logistical arrangements. See what we can do Friday. I don't know. I'll figure it out, though. Also, I need to tell Todd that I'm going.
We could just close on Friday and hit the road and get down there in time.
Todd, if you're listening, I was planning to go to the LSU game.
He's probably like, "God damn it."
Well, my other guy that works over there said he was working on the schedule today, so I need to call him after the show.
Just keep me posted.
But what if he said, "No, you got to work Friday"?
You're supposed to show up at work. That's how it goes.
That'd be a tough. That'd be tough. Because I'm planning to go.
You just let me know what to do with the tickets. Because I got two with your name on them.
Both with my name? I get two seats?
I'm not going to take that layup. Let's move on. What other headlines you got? Last person that made that joke got busted in the head. careful.
Yeah, the charge. Well, Cam already said Charger Slater's out with a torn bicep. So we pretty much gotten through the Monday news. I can see if there's any anything from over.
Headlines are now.
Hang on. Let me check CNN. CNN.
Well, you mentioned Canada earlier. There was this one like Canadian actor that just got like a life in prison because he killed his mom.
A little kid, right?
Yeah,
he's like on some kid show. Right?
He was on the Diary of Wimpy Kids movie.
I guess he got tired of being called a wimp.
Yeah, and he also I think was in Riverdale at one point. But yeah, he just killed his mom and he just got like a year in prison.
Oh, God.
Or not a year, a life in prison. Wild.
Uh oh. Apparently, Russia had a mass shooting.
One of us.
That's not
11 children died.
One of us.
Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Tennessee ranked in the top 8 for the first time since 2006. 2006. The last time Tennessee did what, Cody?
Played Penn State.
And?
That's factual. Last time we did what? Last time we beat, how about last time we beat Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Feels like 06.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
That's last time... Also, that we beat Alabama and Georgia in the same season. Or maybe we lost to Georgia. Did we beat Georgia in 06? Can't remember. Not important. Beat Alabama is all that matters.
Correct.
Nick Saban is 16-0 against us. Could be only 15. 15, 16. Either way, we're due one. We are due a win against the old man.
Would be nice.
I mean, he takes an L once a year.
Yeah, gotta come somewhere.
Why wouldn't it be to us this year? Why would it be against anybody but us? They're gonna beat Arkansas. They're better than LSU this year. Auburn sucks. A&M sucks. They're not gonna go 12-0, are they? They never go 12-0.
I mean, they have gone 12-0 before.
Not often. They usually go 11-1.
You were talking about that being the biggest possible game in Neyland Stadium history, which is kind of cool.
It might be in the argument, or it might not argument. It might be in the running, or maybe you could make an argument for it.
Biggest of our lifetime, if that were to happen.
It'd be a top five game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Possibly.
I don't want to miss anything, you know, from the 80s or 70s that I'm, you know, just too young to know. But
there's probably some other big ones back then, but, yeah, definitely of our lifetime.
It'd be the biggest Alabama-Tennessee game of all time?
Although there were, like, some Florida games, those 90s, like, they were 4-2. And
yeah.
I think the 98 game, wasn't it, were we number 4 or 5? I think Florida was number 2.
Okay.
I mean, that
I didn't think we were ranked that high at that point, but maybe.
Maybe 6th, I don't know. It was a pretty massive game. But I think this one would be up there. You could probably make a case for this one. You think they'd try to checker the stadium again? Probably not. Probably wouldn't try to do it again.
No.
A double checker, Neyland?
Surely not, no.
Did we do that one year?
Not that I know of.
I don't think we ever did it twice in one year.
We've done it. What was that? They said that was like the fifth or sixth time we've done it.
Yeah, something like that.
First time was 2015 Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
How about Herb Street picking against us?
Well, I hate
Saturday. Him. What an idiot.
Could not imagine doing that.
I'm glad somebody did, though, because when it goes chalk, I get nervous.
He just had to go against the grain, I guess.
Yeah.
But not Corso. Not the guy up there with the most sanity.
He didn't even know where he was.
Did we get any feedback on Bianca? Which, again, chalk went down for me, told you.
Yeah. Did you tell us
that she was going to be the guest picker?
Yep, I did. I said.
I remember you advocating for her.
I said that once they went past Dolly, that was going to be the most logical choice, and where they go with. That's what I said.
Did you have sources?
No, I didn't. I just the only source I have is this big brain of mine. That is right more often than it's wrong, unless I'm giving out gambling picks. Then
did you say it was going to be her?
I said
I just remember you advocating.
I did advocate, and then you laughed, and I said, well, that's what's going to happen. And then you just, no, no, there's no way they're picking her. And then we got to drug down the mud arguing about her and Bubba Wallace or whatever. But I was telling you that's what it was going to be. Because I said no one else makes sense. I was like, it's not going to be Morgan Wallen. Dolly's going to be too busy, which did we get a Dolly segment at all? I haven't seen it, if so.
Not sure. Yeah. I think they probably did something.
Gene was able to track her down and get their
I'm sure they did
confirm
something.
Confirm your report. I just told you that was what was going to happen.
Well.
I didn't see, I saw people mad about it on Friday. So
yeah, her approval rating did not seem high.
Well, I just don't think it was people like, oh, no, I don't like this person. It was more so like, who is this person? From some people.
Which would indicate that she's not that popular.
Well, I don't think that a loud vocal minority means that they're right. I just think people.
Do you think a vocal minority didn't know who she was?
Yeah, yeah.
I think a vocal minority and a non-vocal majority didn't know who she was. I think 70% of the Tennessee fan base didn't know who she was.
I would also say that they probably didn't have a problem with it for the most part.
Right.
People that were mad, I would say, is the vocal minority.
Yeah, yeah. I'd agree with that. But I would also say most people didn't know who she was.
Maybe not.
If you take the whole fan base into account, like the Facebookers and the not just Twitter, but other people who don't do social media or whatever, like I would say 70% of just all Tennessee fans probably didn't know her.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So she's not that popular.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really compare her to having to do a new Bubba because he's kind of irrelevant and he didn't get to do it because they went with the actual Tennessee Vol person who went to school here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he's won a championship.
They should have put Theo Von up there. I saw he got to dump the Gatorade on the coach after the game.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Are we the only school that lets the Barstool guys and celebrities do that on the field? Because I don't see that very often in other places. Like I've seen other schools will have their alumni there, like former players on the sideline. But I don't really see too many schools embracing that type of antics. Pretty bad timing on the Gatorade dump, too. It happened right as he was getting ready to shake hands with Sunbelt Billy.
Well, no, we made it when we get sideline passes.
And Heupel didn't seem very thrilled about it, the timing of it, because, he's trying to probably look back and said, who the hell are these guys? who the hell is this that just dumped water on me? A
couple of rednecks.
But, I was wondering if there was any feedback from how Bianca did.
I didn't get to see it. I don't know. I just know that
New Kirk picked against us, and I guess everyone else picked us.
I'm starting to think maybe Herb Street's gone senile. Everybody wants to point to Corso as being senile. I think he made the right pick there. I thought Corso did pretty good for the little bit I watched of game day, the first hour. He might have faded at some point in the show.
I thought we might be looking at another stretch where we had four CBS games in a row. Because we had that in 2016, right? Florida, Georgia, A&M, and Alabama were all four CBS games in a row. Now, of course, Tennessee would have had a bye week in between this, but I thought there was a really good chance it would be Tennessee, Florida, CBS, then Tennessee, LSU, and then Alabama, and then Kentucky. But, that gets broken up with the noon start for LSU, but there's probably a pretty good chance, as long as Tennessee, maybe even if Tennessee loses to LSU, honestly, that game day would be back.
For the Alabama game?
Yeah, you kind of have to come back if you're them, right?
Yeah, what else is that weekend?
I can't imagine a bigger game that weekend.
Yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be one bigger, but would there even be one, I guess, comparable? If there's one comparable, maybe they say, hey, let's go somewhere different, but if it's a top five matchup between Tennessee and Alabama, one of the more historic rivalries of all time, you would think they kind of have to be here in attendance for that, right? That would be the center of the college football universe. Michigan, Penn State, I guess, is a top 15 matchup right now. Clemson, Florida State. USC, Utah. It's actually a pretty jam-packed weekend.
St- still none of those games are as big as Tennessee-Alabama, but the fact that they've already been here might mean that they go somewhere else.
Arkansas-BYU. I would imagine Arkansas-BYU doesn't make the list, but Michigan-Penn State might. Clemson-Florida State might. I do come back to – I do believe in the conspiracies that people talk about how you know, ESPN is going to take care of the SEC first. I agree with that when they're giving us all this money, so –
Man, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I know we got to take care of business against LSU, but that Alabama game, I mean, that's going to have some stakes.
Yeah. If we just didn't have to play both Georgia and Alabama this year, we'd feel so much better.
But also, great opportunity.
It is.
That Alabama game.
Do you feel different about the LSU game when I told you that the last time they have lost pre-noon kickoff was 1997. They've had this situation where
they have not lost a home game since 97. That was a noon, an 11 a.m.
A noon Eastern, 11 a.m. local. They are 8-0 since 1997.
They've only played 8 noon games?
Yep.
Since 1997.
At home.
How is that a thing?
I'm just reading the stat.
That can't be accurate.
No, it is.
It's a little wild.
You mean against ranked teams or against conference?
They just don't play noon games.
They have definitely played. They had to.
Let me click and make sure. Hold on.
How could they not have played more than 8 home noon games since 97?
Pre-noon. Let me see if I can find
That's 25 years.
Yeah, but.
I mean, do they always play at night?
Seven. This was before the Florida game they won, so add one to it. 7 consecutive games at Tiger Stadium with pre-noon kickoffs have been won by LSU. This is from AL.com. The Tigers' most recent home loss in a game that started before noon came on October 18, 1997, when Ole Miss defeated LSU. That's kicked off at 11:37 in Baton Rouge. During its winning streak, LSU beat Mississippi State 3 times, Appalachian State, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Utah State once apiece. And then add Florida to that, I believe.
So they just don't play noon games? Well, that does nothing for me. If they've only played 8, I don't think that means much. If you told me they had won 28, I'd be like, well.
Yeah, that list of opponents isn't very good, right? No. Like, congrats on beating Mississippi State, bro.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go.
Kentucky, Arkansas.
Although beating App State these days, not the easiest thing.
I don't even know when it was. It wasn't recently. It was probably, like, you know, in 2005 or so. But congrats. Was that when they actually beat Michigan? 2005 that year? That was 07, right?
Yeah,
good luck. I don't think any of those teams had Hendon Hooker on their team.
That's true.
Am I right?
You are right about that.
Am I right?
You are.
Let's try to come up with a winners and losers of the weekend list. I don't really have anything, but we'll get you one. I got it in my notes. I got to go find it. Winners and losers of the weekend coming up after the break. And losers of the weekend brought to you by our friends at Big Orange Phillies. They sponsor our phone lines, the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Great callers by all you guys today. Love to see it. 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. A great spot for a quick lunch or burgers and beers with friends after work. Full menu. You can check it out at BigOrangePhillies.com. Delivery via Grubhub. All right, Cody Mack, let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, please hit that music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
Like Florida.
Winners and losers.
Who won this weekend?
My winner's number 3. I'm going to go with the referee who jumped on the pile and cared about his job last night. Did you see that last night when the fumble happened? That guy got in there and lost his hat and everything. He jumped to the bottom. He was going to make sure he saw who recovered the fumble between Denver and San Francisco on the muff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I give the guy, he's a winner for caring that much about his job. He could have gotten a concussion down there.
Love to see it.
He was on the bottom of the pile.
Way to risk
lost
your body.
Lost his hat and everything.
Hopefully he gets a promotion.
Guy cares about his job. He should be on the Super Bowl crew this year. Number 2 winner for me, the Jags. Trevor Lawrence Good day. Good. You know, the Jags are respected again. We've been laughing at them for years. I think right now they look like the best team in the AFC South. They've had two straight good performances, so I'll put them as my number two winner and the number one winner.
Before you get to number one, can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
I want an honest answer.
Oh, well, I doubt I'll lie.
Do you feel a little bit nervous about our board bet? Trevor Lawrence versus Joe Burrow? Who's going to have a better career after 5 years?
Uh-oh.
No.
Because to me, it feels like one is ahead of the other, like right now when you're talking about the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and it ain't the old man. It's the one who's 4 years younger than him.
Let me know when your boy gets to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they didn't really get to the Super Bowl because of Joe Burrow, so like I don't give him that much credit for it. It was kind of like a Jimmy Garoppolo type run as far as
I disagree. I think the team really rallied behind him.
They scored like 19 points against the Titans when they got there. Maybe I guess it was 22 to 19,
he helped win the game.
Yeah,
I mean,
just checking.
Guy's a winner. Guy's a winner. Your guy is.
They don't look very good this year.
I'm not nervous about it.
My guy's got more wins than your guy does this year.
I'm not nervous about it.
For him to be a winner.
Not nervous about it.
Joe Burrow is currently on pace to have his second losing season in the NFL out of three attempts.
Your team's 2-1.
And yours.
We're three games in. Not a big difference.
I'm just asking.
My team just hammered the Jets.
They won like, what was it, 26-9 or something like that? 20. Jets.
Joe Namath.
Jets.
You ever heard of Joe Namath?
He was a 500 quarterback. He threw 50% of his passes complete. He'd kind of stump, actually.
Number one winner of the weekend for me was us. Falls.
I'd be a little nervous if I were you. Trevor Lawrence looks a lot better than Joe Burrow.
I'm about as nervous as I was nervous about the Queen.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you were wrong. Anyways, good list of winners. Can
Falls.
I give you mine?
Falls were number one.
Number one. B-O-L. S.
Go. V. Balls.
Oh.
Go.
No, no, you messed the chant.
What?
Then you got to go around the room. V. O. L. S.
V. O. L. S.
I understand it takes, it's weird how sound travels, but every time people get off the beat of it, I'm just like, man, it kills me.
Oh, yeah.
How many games have you been to? You got to realize how it goes. Slow down. My winners of the weekend, number three. We're not in Kansas anymore, but damn it if we were. The football's pretty good right now as the Jayhawks and the Wildcats continue to win. Kansas State's got Oklahoma's number.
Yeah, they do.
Swap out the coaches, swap out the players, doesn't matter. Kansas State's going to give Oklahoma a game, and then the Jayhawks get to 4-0.
But the Chiefs lost.
Yeah, that's why I said football in Kansas.
I think most of the football fans in Kansas are Kansas City fans, don't you think?
Yeah, but I'm just talking about football that's played in the state of Kansas.
Yeah, but Kansas City's in Kansas,
in Missouri.
Too.
Missouri.
It's in Kansas, too.
No, it's in Missouri.
It's also in Kansas.
It's not in Kansas anymore.
There's
it's
a river.
Missouri.
There's a river, and I'm going
to
bet
you. Have you ever been to the stadium?
Because
yes,
I have.
It was in Missouri.
And I'm aware of that. I'm going to bet you
it's
the people
Missouri.
Who live on the other side of the border
they're hanging
in
out
that
with,
metro
they're
area.
They're hanging out with Eli Drinkwitz.
I bet,
they're playing with.
I bet you they would tell you they live in Kansas City.
Yes, Missouri.
Even though they're in the state of Kansas.
Yeah. There is a Kansas City, Kansas, so I guess technically they do maybe live in Kansas City.
So do you think all those people are Broncos fans?
They probably root for the Chiefs.
Okay. Yeah.
But that'd be like Alabama fans who root for the Titans because they're close.
I'm just saying, probably not the perfect weekend for Kansas sports fans.
No, it's football in Kansas.
I see what you're saying.
The Chiefs play.
And I don't know if you're trying to imply that I don't realize the city of Kansas City is in Missouri.
I just wonder why you're nitpicking here when you're wrong. That's all I'm saying. It's not about Missouri. It's about Kansas. Does it make you feel better if I put college football in Kansas?
Yes.
Would that
make me feel better,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, college football in Kansas.
Because I just know they didn't have quite the perfect weekend.
College football in Kansas. There we go. I'll add that discrepancy. Wait, that's not the word I was looking for. I'll add that distinction, disclaimer, college football in Kansas. Because it does make this number two feel better, which is Tennessee football. Because I am lumping the Titans into Tennessee football.
Okay, there you
Titans,
go.
Titans, Middle Tennessee. And the Vols. Vandy excluded, but they're not Tennessee football. They're Vanderbilt football. You see what
I saw.
The name of Tennessee is not in the name there.
Well, that's true. I saw
score, though,
Florida State fans were proud of us as a state.
Yeah, we kicked their two rivals' ass.
Yep, beat Miami and Florida.
Tennessee football was in my number one spot, but I had to knock it off when I remembered that there was a baseball thing that happened and Albert Pujols hit 700 home runs. Not in one weekend. That would be a record, but he hit two to get to 700.
How about that? How about that for Pujols?
That's pretty cool. Did we see the home runs? I didn't actually see them because, again, football weekend.
Yeah,
I was wondering, like, did people just, like, groove them to them?
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't see it either. Like you said, football was on, so I had better things to do.
It would have been pretty special to see Pujols hit those two home runs. Would have loved to be there for that.
He should have done it before football season.
He should have, yes.
Yeah, it is bad for him that he couldn't have done it, like, you know, a month ago, but...
Yeah.
It is fascinating to think about what would have happened if, like, COVID wouldn't have happened. Because he did lose 100 games because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Because he only played 60 games that year. So, like, could he have maybe hit another 15 home runs? And because Babe Ruth finished with 714, right? Or isn't 714 one of the – that's one of the numbers, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I want to say Babe Ruth hit 714. Yeah, so he could have – he wouldn't have called Aaron or Bonds, but – could have maybe been third all time. Mm-hmm.
If he played another year, he might catch the Babe.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play another year. Anyways, who lost this weekend?
Number three loser for me. I go with the Saints and Jameis Winston losing to lowly Carolina. Can't imagine thinking the Saints were going to be good this year. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston throwing a bunch of picks like he always does.
Love to see it.
Number two loser for me. Good teams in college football who are not great. Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, you still feel good about. But the other so-called good teams, Kentucky in a fight with Northern Illinois. Oklahoma loses to Kansas State. Clemson took double overtime to beat Wake. USC, 17-14 over Oregon State. Good teams who are not great did not even look good. Top 10 Arkansas loses. Throw Texas in there, I guess. They lost to Texas Tech after we thought they were good for losing to Alabama. And then my number one loser is me for my effort in college football pick'ems over the last 2 weeks.
And you got beat up.
I did not get beat up. 2 weeks ago, I said I went 2-8 in my pick'ems. And I thought, well, surely I can follow this up with a better performance this week. And this week I went 1-9.
Jeez.
Takes a little bit of skill.
You did go 1-2 in college picks on the show as well.
I went 1-9 in my ESPN pick'ems.
That's bad.
After going 2-8 last week.
I thought you had a good week in college football. Didn't you go 3-0 on the show? You went 3-0 on the show and 2-8 in your pick'em?
I went 2-8 on the pick'em app.
Is that against the spread or straight up?
Spread. I went 2-8, and I thought I'd follow it up this week. Surely to God, I could be better than 2-8. Went 1-9.
Well, if you were trying to get them wrong, think of it like that.
That's what I said. It takes a little bit of skill to be that wrong.
You're picking at a pretty good clip if you're trying to get them wrong.
So I wasn't trying. Okay. So next week, we're shooting for 0-10.
Are you in last place?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dead last.
How many people are in your pick'em?
There's only like 8 or 9 of us.
Oh, thanks for the invite.
Well, I didn't do the inviting.
Yeah. I would have done it anyways because I don't think I'm very good.
Well, I won it last year.
Oh.
I was in first position last year.
Wow. And now you're in last.
Now I'm dead last.
You know what we call that? Regression to the mean.
Yeah.
My loser of the weekend, number three, I went with Devontae Adams. I just thought Devontae Adams, he's on an 0-3 team. The Packers seem to be just as good without him. The other wide receivers who changed teams seem to be thriving. A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill look happy. Meanwhile, Devontae Adams gets back with his boy, Derek Carr, and he's got, I think, 7 catches over the last 2 weeks for like 70 yards. That's not what he signed up for. Number two, my trio of quarterbacks. Loser, loser, loser. Josh Allen, loser. Patrick Mahomes, loser. But no one's as big of a loser as that Justin Herbert, who is a big, big-time loser. All three of the golden boys. I had to hear about them all offseason. You did? You had to hear about them all offseason. They gave Josh Allen the MVP after 2 weeks after he beat up on a Titans team. Oh, wow, look at him. He's so good. Well, guess what? Yesterday he was a loser. scored 19 points. Patrick Mahomes scored 17 points. Mm. But they were, they might as well have been the damn greatest show on turf or the 2022 Tennessee Volunteers compared to Justin Herbert, who scored 10 points. Losers. Mm. Losers.
Can be my team.
Losers. Number one loser of the week in the Miami Hurricanes. Just, you got bullied by MTSU, bro.
Yeah.
Bullied.
That's not good.
Bullied.
I want to say I didn't see it coming.
They got their dream coach in Mario Cristobal, and can't say it's going too well. I'm a little worried if Mario Cristobal is actually a good coach. I know he can recruit, but I don't know if he's actually a good coach. I know he dropped, you know, he would always drop one game a year that he shouldn't have, but it's two losses in a row to an A&M team that's not very good. I don't care if they keep winning. I still don't think they're very good, but then you get just absolutely bullied by MTSU.
I wish we were playing A&M this year instead of Alabama.
Would you rather play A&M or LSU?
It's a good question.
Because that would be the actual thing you'd have to swap out. Because, I mean, you know, we're locked into Alabama. I know you know that. I'm just asking. Yeah. Would you rather?
I just like
if play A&M next year at home. So would you rather have swapped that out and go to LSU next year and play Texas A&M at home this year? I guess that would change things playing at home.
They're probably comparable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have LSU at home, too, yeah. Ideally, but they're comparable teams.
Texas A&M is 3.5-point underdogs.
To Mississippi State.
To Mississippi State.
I'm so confused by that.
Which, you know, usually when the line doesn't make sense, that team covers, so, I mean.
It's down in Starkville.
It is. The line has shifted back to 17.5, Alabama over Arkansas, Georgia, 27-point favorites.
My thing is that I don't think Mississippi State's very good, but I don't think A&M is either.
Cam, anybody you thought we missed in winners or losers?
Not really. You pretty much hit everybody I was kind of thinking of.
Sunbelt Billy, big loser.
You know, it sucks for him that he is 0-2 against Tennessee and Kentucky. Like, if I'm Florida, I'm probably pretty worried about that. But
yeah,
I gave Billy his props at the beginning of the game. Like, he pulled out every stop for his little underdog scrappy team to come in and try to hang with the big boys. Like,
he was playing like he was still at Troy.
Yeah, he tried to will them into competing. Like, he was comfortable being, you know, outclassed in a stadium like like Neyland Stadium. He tried the best he could.
Yeah, and I did see somebody commended him for not doing the flopping and faking injuries and all that when his team was getting like.
I was surprised that Florida just, on one hand, maybe I actually would have tried to do that because they got absolutely annihilated and got zero stops. Maybe they should have tried that, but they did at least go out on their sword. So I will give Billy Napier credit for that. It's easier to be nice to people when you own them, and we own Sunbelt Billy until further notice.
Yeah, we do.
It'll be 2 years, but at the very soonest before he has a winning record against Tennessee, and he might never have a winning record against Tennessee. How about that for stats?
How about it?
How about it?
How about just beating Florida? Just, you should have beat them last year. There's no reason you shouldn't have beat them. We finally got it done. Finally better than them.
Last call on the other side. Go to fanrunradio.com/tent. Sign up for our GNJ Auto Graphics free tent Wednesdays, fanrunradio.com/TINT, and get signed up. It's up to $300 value that we're just giving you away courtesy of them. Every Wednesday, go sign up every week. It's a new week. Go sign up, GNJ Auto. We appreciate them for their support. Let's play some Pump the Brakes. Cam, what do you got for us?
I got New Jersey Men.
New Jersey Men. Now give it to me. Mob ties.
Three men charged with a fraud in a $100 million New Jersey deli scheme.
Deli, that's probably mob. Yeah.
Yeah. There was this place called the Hometown Deli up in New Jersey, just in a small town, small deli. It was operating under a umbrella company called Hometown International. it became worth $100 million somehow. Basically because they were committing fraud and things like that and manipulating it on the stock market. Yep,
this is definitely mob stuff, so he may get whacked.
No, they're just facing very stiff fines and jail time for this.
They're getting whacked.
Yeah, what's a few fines and a couple months in jail? All that money's in the Caymans now.
It's located in Paulsboro, New Jersey, just over the Delaware River from Philadelphia.
Mob.
Yep. It's lauded for its cheesesteaks and Italian subs.
Mob.
Under $440,000 in annual revenue, but it was like operating on the stock market for some reason. So,
the stock market thing.
They're all mobbed up.
Yeah, I'm confused about the stock market part too, but I guess that's. They place it under. I guess they were just putting their money through the stock market or something. I'm not sure exactly there, but yeah, basically they were frauding, doing a lot of fraud and stuff, and.
Cheese steak sounds good.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have cheesesteak for lunch.
One of the men charged.
Going back keto
the deli. This week.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now that we got this Florida weekend out of the way.
You got a week to get ready for LSU?
I'm sticking to it.
And the Nuggets next Monday.
Nuggets, is that next Monday we're doing that?
If you keto, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, that's close enough. Yeah, might go cheesesteak with no bread today.
I need to actually figure out what I'm doing, how I'm getting to LSU. I haven't actually planned in this trip.
I thought you were flying.
Well, I know, but I haven't actually booked anything.
Oof. Flights from here to Baton Rouge are not
cheap. Yeah, but he has Sky Miles.
I was going to do New Orleans, and I was going to use
makes
Sky
sense,
Miles.
Yeah.
That's brag.
I will be riding in a car.
Good old 10-hour ride.
Some sort of car.
Plus stops.
Nothing like a little road trip with the boys.
Yeah, I mean, could be fun.
What would you be riding in?
Don't know yet. I still have a lot of logistical things.
You're not coming.
I've got to work out.
Intern Carson will be there.
Yeah?
Him and the rest of my family.
Who's he going to be rooting for? LSU?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question because, you know, he's a.
Probably wants both of his brothers to be unhappy.
Yeah, that's usually.
One brother's an LSU
his
fan.
Game
you're
plan.
A Tennessee fan.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what side he's on this development. I'll have to ask him.
You know, we're in the same division, but maybe he's like, hey, I'm not worried about y'all. I want it to be bigger when we beat y'all. Maybe that's what he's thinking. Maybe he likes us enough where we can be the tiebreaker.
That's probably what I would hope. Yeah.
I mean, I would really hope so.
Yeah.
And tell him, when you ask him if he says he's rooting against us, please tell him I'm very disappointed.
I'll let him know for sure.
And I'm deleting our picture off my phone. Tell him I still got it, but I'm deleting it at this sign of betrayal. Who's calling you?
Friend of mine.
It's a pretty ringtone.
Who knows I'm on the radio.
It's 2:55. Maybe he thought it was over.
Well, it pretty much is.
Yeah, yeah. All we lack is getting there.
Yep. Just got to keep talking through this last minute here. Just saying meaningless.
We don't really have to say anything. We can just be quiet the rest of the show.
That's true.
What are they going to do, fire us? The audience will listen. Let's see if we can actually be quiet starting now. Drives up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.